Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. As always, a packed program. And I need to insert right at the beginning, because I will not remember it later. If you would like to reach me, you may do so. Not on Twitter, not on Facebook. None of those things are all been corrupted by elitist left-wing globalists who couldn't care less about this country. And they are showing it in the way they restrict conservative speech, religious speech. You name it, they are against it if it's good and godly. So you've got to use old-fashioned postage stamp. No, not that old-fashioned. Old-fashioned email. info@redskyradio.net. info@redskyradio.net. You can send along your criticisms, comments, whatever. Whatever you got, you can send it my way. I want to start with an odd piece of good news this week, and you may think this is just simply Midwestern bias because I grew up in the Midwest, and it probably is. But the Big Ten football season is back on. And interestingly, I don't care so much about football as I used to, but the fact that the Big Ten wasn't playing ball, and why are they going to be playing ball after they've decided that because of the COVID thing, they shouldn't? I mean, how ridiculous was that, right? So some guy playing defensive tackle is going to get the disease from the offensive tackle. Are you serious? If that's the way it is, these guys shouldn't be playing at all. They're too fragile. But why is it on? It's on because of Donald Trump. I mean, you probably get fatigued of me telling you all the great things he does. This is an executive. This is a guy who does things the way business does things, meaning let's get the job done. There's a saying out west out here called get her done. Gitter, you know how to spell it, G-I-T-T-E-I-R. Get her done. He's that mentality. It's not this old backslapping crapola that just causes politics to stink. I mean, you know how we got the word politics, right? Poly, a Greek word meaning many, and ticks meaning a blood-sucking insect. So you got a lot of many insects, blood-sucking insects. And we're going to get to Pelosi in a minute. But the Big Ten will be playing football. And now that the Big Ten is playing football, it's pushing the Pac-12 to play football. Is this a presidential responsibility? No. He just does it because he apparently stays up, 20, 21 hours a day. He sleeps 3 or 4 hours a night. That's it. The rest of the time, he's thinking about what? One thing. How can I help this country? How do we make this country better? How do we make this country great again? What can I do? The left and Joe Basement Biden, Hayden Biden, he can stay in the basement of Trump. You know, if he doesn't want to come out, don't come out. But don't interfere with what I got to do, because I got business to do. As he travels around the country with teeming throngs of people, and Biden is sitting at a face mask 25 feet from six people in a field, and they called it a round table, and the table was square. The setup was square. I mean, it's just incredible how off the left is, which of course concerns me greatly if they should win. But we're playing football because of Donald Trump. And when Trump isn't trying to fix the football, which takes him about, what did he spend, 20 minutes making 10 calls, 12 calls, half a dozen calls to Big Ten general managers saying, look, you guys need to get back on the field. Come on, quit dinking around here. Get back out there. And guess what? They're back out there. But he doesn't have much time because he also needs to allocate another hour or two a day to Mideast peace deals, which are happening left and right. And does the media congratulate Trump on him? Does the media even ask him anything about that? Will the media cover any of these peace deals on CNN or PSMNBC, as Rush calls it? No, of course not. They will say nothing that will make this president look good. They'll do nothing that would substantiate the fact that he should be picking up about 3 Nobel Peace Prizes. And so what does Nancy Pelosi have to say about it? She said these peace deals in the Mideast, these are her words, are mere distractions. Mere distractions. What? Distractions from the fake COVID thing? Distractions from the riots they want to show on TV thinking it'll sink Trump until they finally find out from the polls that it's actually hurting Biden. And now he's coming out being against the riots. But can you get Cammy Hypocrite Harris to say anything in defense of the two LA officers that were shot in cold blood by the rioter? No. No, they've got no class. The only class they have is without the CL in front of it. That's all they got. They are nothing. But to call these Mideast peace deals, which are happening left and right, and all the nations that are coming to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and she calls them distractions? They're distractions from all the evil that the left keeps throwing at Trump. They're distractions from, they're distractions because they have the potential to dominate the nightly news, and it's game over at the election, which is why NBC and CBS and ABC and CNN and MSNBC, they all have to ignore the significance of the greatest modern day president in the history of the United States, who I realize the contrast is especially stark following the absolute worst president in modern U.S. history in B.O. himself. But that's not the end of the good news. We mentioned a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, I'm not sure, about the Mexico City policy, which is a policy that was implemented a while back to prohibit taxpayer funds in the United States going to support abortion-related functions overseas. And without getting into the detail, because I don't need to, the Trump administration has now just proposed a further expansion of the Mexico City policy banning abortion funding. Now, keep in mind, this is a president that the left said would be trigger-happy. He'd be like Ronald Reagan. We'd get us into war. He'd be mean and he'd be cruel. But he's trying to save babies in the womb while he's also busy forging multiple peace treaties in the Middle East. I will tell you, if this president is defeated, it will be time to head for the hills, flee from Jerusalem and head to the hills of Judea. And we're going to have some programs on that. Now, getting on to a mixed story of good news, bad news. I guess you'd say the bad news first, the NFL boycott. And I don't know, you know what? We've got to come up with a name. Let me know. What should we rename the NFL? I mean, it's still going to be the NFL, but it's not going to be the National Football League. I want to reference them as something else. Like the noxious flatulation of losers. Well, maybe that was not the best one, but it's just, you know what? I still got a seventh grade humor. So that's what just came to my mind right away, right? So send me send me, maybe I can send you a free book if you are the winner for the best replacement term for the not for the NFL. But why do I put this story up here right behind the good news? Because there's also some good news. Now, you know, and I don't need to go into any detail about the two kids in Miami, Ohio, high school football players that came roaring out of their little tunnel or what have you with the American flags flying. They were on Sean Hannity the other night. Great kids, great future ahead of them. And then the school expels them, suspends them for 5 days. For what? A display of patriotism? But then when the world, or maybe not the world, but enough people either in Miami or around the country say, look, you're the worst high school in the United States and we're going to slam you every chance we get. Gee, suddenly the school board now decides to lift the suspension and welcome the boys back. It's amazing what a little pressure will do. Well, why do I bring this up in the good news section of Red Sky Radio? This is a reason. When we see these things, we think, oh no, this is terrible. My gosh, these people are creeps. They're crooks. They're debauched. They're demented. They're debilitated. They're dorks. I'm running out of D words. But this is the deal. This goes back to the to Genesis, I think, chapter 38, that what the enemy intends for evil, God will use for good. So, you know, the Lord just let the idiotic principal and all the stupid administration at this school in Miami yank these kids and suspend them from school. Why? So it could draw national attention. Why? So the whole country could put the pressure on these losers and force the school board to reverse the suspension. Why? What's the next why? So that every 16, 17, and 18-year-old boy or girl playing whatever sport in whatever school, wherever they are, might now be inspired to go and do likewise, as Jesus said, go and do likewise. Go out there, stand up for your country, do these things, because we know in the end you're going to be okay. If that school in Miami changed their mind, then the next school will change, whether it's Chickasha, Oklahoma, or Butte, Montana. Doesn't really matter. And then I guess the second part of the good news of this piece, besides what the enemy intends for evil, God will use for good, is this. The NFL, this noxious flatulation of losers. I don't want to go with that one, but it's all I got. It's all I got going for me right now with this name. The NFL could learn something from these two young boys in Miami, Ohio. They could learn a lot, like patriotism and standing up for your country. And don't give me this kneel crap and the fist crap. And then Patrick Mahomes, who I used to have respect for, now the guy can take a hike. Couldn't give a rat's rear end about him. He can't seem to understand why people don't seem to like him now. Well, look, Patrick, and all you other guys, you get these mega multi-million dollar contracts. People laud you and applaud you and idolize you for actually improper reasons, because it's mostly idolization. But then when they turn on you, you get all ticked off. You get all jacked out of shape. You get all bent and twisted in your underwear because, oh, gosh, they don't like me now. Hey, you know what? If you're going to be political with your uniform, if you're going to be political game time, then everybody watching, everybody listening can be political whether they turn you suckers off. And I want to tell you, I am boycotting officially the NFL. I didn't see any games last week. I'm not seeing any games this week. And I'm not watching any games anywhere down the line, with one maybe possible exception. And it's not my Detroit Lions. They've gone down the tank like others. I can't even believe I'm saying this. Now, we got a lot of listeners in Las Vegas. A lot of listeners in Las Vegas. So the Oakland Raiders, which was everybody's favorite team to hate for a long time because they kind of played dirty and cheap and everything like that. And I married a woman from San Diego, and the San Diego Chargers people hated the Oakland Raiders, big rivalry, so I kind of had to buy into all that business. But they were the only team, I think they were the only team that did not have one single person kneel, not one single person raise a fist. They all stood for the national anthem. And here I am saying, God bless you, Las Vegas Raiders. Hey, doesn't the Bible say the first shall be last and the last shall be first? Well, if I'm wrong, let me know. info@redskyradio.net. If there's another team, I don't want to overlook them. I want to give them due credit. But right now, I think they're the only ones. Other than that, this is pure boycott, man. I got better things to do than to watch a bunch of overpaid yin-yangs, most of whom are avowed racists themselves. So, can we count on a fair election with mail-in ballots? Well, without getting into the deeper part of this issue, the answer is no. If you can't do any better than the incredible loser who is the Secretary of State, a Democrat, I might mention, in the state of Michigan, who prepared the Secretary of State who prepared the ballots to be mailed out to the soldiers. So what the heck is her name here? Benson. I can't even come up with her first name now here. What the heck is her name? Jocelyn. Here we go. Sorry. Jocelyn Benson, the Michigan Secretary of State, a Democrat. She looks like one too. You can oftentimes tell them by their appearance. She misprinted the ballots that have gone out to soldiers who show Michigan as their residence. It's not just a one-time mistake. If, in fact, it was a mistake, we'll get to that. Not a two-time. It's the trifecta of mistakes because she has listed President Trump with a rival, Joe Biden, but she has, as President Trump's running mate, Jeremy Cohen, who's on the Libertarian ticket with Joe Jorgensen for president from the state of Michigan. Jeremy Cohen, and she has listed as Trump's running mate. Number one mistake. Number two, Mike Pence doesn't show up anywhere on the ballot, not even in the wrong spot. And then she omitted Jorgensen's running mate for the Libertarian Party, which was the presidential. So there's no presidential run. Let me get this straight. The vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party is now on the Michigan ballot, the vice presidential candidate along with Donald Trump. Number two, Mike Pence is not on there. And number three, the Libertarian candidate, Joe Jorgensen, doesn't have a vice presidential running mate listed on the ballot. This is now three screw-ups. This is just, okay, and why do I say, well, maybe this isn't? Is this a mistake? Or is this intentional? Is she trying to, because Michigan, Trump won Michigan by only 10,000 votes. That could be the entirety of the soldiers' ballots overseas. But it points to one of two things. Either this woman is incredibly, abysmally incompetent, or she's a crook. And I actually have to take that back, because those two choices are not mutually exclusive. She could be both a crook and incredibly incompetent. And actually, that's what I'm going for. Okay. Now we got to move on to some problems that little Joey hiding in the basement Biden has got in his home state of Delaware. I got a little story for you today about Delaware because we'll get to that in a minute. We have a Sarah McBride, that's what she calls herself, running for the state Senate in Delaware. And you think, well, why on earth would we care about who's running for the state Senate, not the U.S. Senate, the state Senate in Delaware? Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is, I really don't care, except that she's a tranny. It's a he male, he female, she male. Who knows? Who knows what she is? He is. It's a he. And she won the primary. And she is expected to win in the election and be the first tranny in Congress. And probably being celebrated by Bruce Transgender. Maybe he'll run for Congress next, huh? Well, she was all LGBTQ everything and XYZ for Joe Biden over the years. She was doing all of his advanced work with a queer community. But here's Biden's problem with this seemingly innocuous story. Well, he's actually got two problems. And maybe the second one is bigger than the first one. But this is the deal. Does he support her or does he not? Because you can expect at the state level, you're going to get endorsements from the bigwigs running for national office from your state. That's just the way it works. So does he support the tranny and further alienate himself from anybody who has any morals or brains? Or does he not support the tranny and then draw the ire of the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community along with all the left-wing rat hole radicals that populate the leftist part of the Democrat Party, which is now the controlling part of the party? What does he do? I mean, isn't he kind of screwed either way if the media covered this? Isn't this sort of like that old statement, have you stopped beating your wife yet? Well, if you say, no, I haven't stopped beating my wife yet, or yes, I have stopped beating my wife, the fact of the matter, it's a presumptive question. The fact of the matter is that no matter how you answer it, you've admitted to beating your wife, whether you've stopped or not. You're a wife beater. Well, this is Joe's kind of got this problem going on in Delaware here. He's kind of screwed if he supports her and if he doesn't. That's problem number one. Here's problem number two for Joey No Brains Hiding Biden. And it may be the bigger problem. Joe, who has lost his mind, his brains, and he's compromised his morals a long, long time ago. He's going to get confused now with her, he, whatever, as a tranny. He's not going to know whether or not he can sniff her hair. Really, he's going to be all messed up. Can I or should I be sniffing her or not? I mean, what is he? What is she? I don't know. I don't know. I can see him all messed up. Of course, it won't make national news. We'll have to go to Breitbart and One News Now and all the legitimate news stories. Maybe Fox would pick it up. Maybe not. I don't know. But that leads me to the next thing. Sort of. I have been asked before, you know, if you could say anything to Joe Biden, what would you tell him? And I decided this is what I would tell him. I would tell him, I said, Mr. Vice President, do you have time for a little story? He said, well, sure I do. I'd smile big and all that nicey nice stuff, knowing he's not going to remember it anyway, but whatever. So this is a story, and it's a true story. And it's about my younger son. When my younger son, and I did allude to this once before, when he was 2 years old and 10 months, not even three, I've got it on, yes, it's on a cassette, where I showed him these flashcards. And the flashcards showed all 50 states, and they were yellow, except the state in question would be red. So he would have to identify by the shape of the state what state it was. Now, mind you, this is a test 98% of adults could never pass, maybe 99%. But he did it at 2 years and 10 months. He could hardly talk, but he learned how to talk about these states. But he'd identify the state. That gets pretty tough. Telling the difference just on a, if you put Wyoming next to Colorado, I can tell the difference because the lines, the east and west boundaries of Wyoming, they converge as you're going towards the North Pole. So the northern boundary of Wyoming is narrower than the southern boundary. Colorado is a little more rectangular, but they look very similar. He got all 50 states by shape, and he got all 50 state capitals. Did not miss a one. Not a one. Could you do that? Well, I can because I'm a geography nerd, and that's kind of why he can do it. And guess what? He grew up to teach geography. But this is a part of the story that I would pass on to Joe Biden. Now, this son, when he cut him a sandwich, cut it in half, and he'd look at it, and a half a sandwich, he said, oh, Kansas, because the sandwich looked like Kansas. And you take a little bite out of the lower left corner, and it'd look like Nebraska. He'd go to Nebraska, and he'd eat a little more off the panhandle, and he'd say, oh, Oklahoma. And he'd eat his sandwiches into shapes. And one day, I heard him calling for me. I ran down the hall, because he was calling for me. And I ran into the bathroom, and he stood there with his pants down, and he pointed into the toilet, and he said, look, Dad, Delaware. That is the story that I would tell Joe Biden if I could. Okay. I want to, I'm going to take this next piece. I got to push it back a bit because the BLM people, speaking of BM, oh, I mean, sorry, BLM, have made this statement that if Trump wins, that's when the guns come out. If he's reelected, BLM is stating that is when the guns come out. I want just let that soak for a bit because we're going to come back to it a little bit later. And I don't want to spend time on this because racist, and she is a racist, Harris promises to give business grants of up to $300 billion she would propose to black businesses. So let's just see how much we can discriminate, Harris, more than you already do. But maybe, who knows, maybe that's not as bad as the college English department at the University of Chicago, normally a reputable organization, that now says that the English department is going to open their graduate programs now exclusively and only to applicants who will plan to study black studies. That's right. Said for the 2020-2021 graduate admission cycle, the University of Chicago English department is accepting only applicants interested in working in and with black studies. Well, you can just chuck the University of Chi-Town. I mean, can you get more blatantly racist? I mean, folks, I have a lot of black friends and they're ridiculously embarrassed at this stuff. And I feel badly for them. I mean, I don't hold it against them, of course, but this is just so unbelievably ridiculous. It's ludicrous. The open hostility and the blatant racism. And if I had one thing that I could say to Candace Owens or Kim Clatkin or, I can't think of this other young black woman who is a great conservative. I was thinking while I was listening to her the other night on the Mark Levin, Life, Liberty, and Levin. I listened to her on Hannity. And if I could tell her one thing, it would be, God bless you, Candace. I've been praying for you to come along for 15 years now for God to raise up articulate conservative blacks, leave and walk off the plantation. And you are the ones that can bring this country back to a measure of sensibility and stability and sanity and good schools. It's not going to be, you don't leave it up to the whites. Can't pull it off. We need God-fearing blacks and Hispanics. Don't go away. It's going to get a lot juicier when you come back. Be right back. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We're back. I cut off the music because we got too much to fit in today. All right. I lived for, I don't know, about 3 or 4 months in North Carolina in Winston-Salem. That's my only real exposure to the state, except I think I went to a faith rally in Charlotte about 30 years ago. I barely remember it. But in the town of Charlotte, North Carolina, if you're a Christian listening to this, and you still have some residual support, be you black, white, brown, whatever color, for Black Lives Matter, this is what they were doing in Charlotte. There's a black street preacher who was declaring that Jesus saves during this BLM rally. And he was attacked. That's right. He was attacked by a mob. I don't even really want to say, well, I'm not going to say it. Shouting and screaming, F Jesus. That's right, F Jesus. These are your Black Lives Matter. Well, I'll tell you, those Black Lives don't matter, which I, when I say that, understand I haven't seen a picture of Black Lives Matter that wasn't at least 50% white. And the group that just pummeled that woman, that innocent woman in the, I don't know if it was Chicago or Washington, D.C., restaurant, forcing her to raise her fist and say Black Lives Matter. I didn't see one black person in the whole group. Bunch of white, snot-nosed, little elitist, weenie, crybaby, white snowflakes. Okay, guess I got them, right? Okay, we already talked about boycotting the NFL. Okay, that one, throw that one out. Now, I want to mention this because I used to live in Santa Barbara County, California. Beautiful place to live. I mean, scenery, weather, all that, but after that, it's downhill. That school district has adopted the most radical sex ed curriculum for middle school in the United States, what was believed to be in the United States. Despite a huge pushback from parents, the school board doesn't give a rat's rear end about the parents. You think schools care about your kids' education? You got to wake up and smell the coffee. No, they care about their jobs. They care about their pensions. They want to get paid for not doing jack and sitting on their derriere while the school is closed, demanding world peace is accomplished before they go back. And I am quoting LA Unified School District, Palos Verdes School District in California, a whole bunch of them. They want free this, free that, world peace. I mean, it is, what a bunch of morons. I will tell you, this is my thought. There are three crimes involved if you have children in public schools, certainly in California and a lot of other places. On your part, it would be child neglect and child endangerment. On the part of the teachers, it's child abuse. And it's child abuse in Santa Barbara Unified School District because the sex education curriculum that they have adopted, didn't matter how many people were against it. In middle school, you now get to the part of the program is you get to choose your gender. They will teach you how to find birth control locations where you can get pills and blah, blah, blah. How you can get abortions. This is middle school. And they're also going to provide condom distributions because we sure don't want any 11 or 12-year-old boy to be wondering how to do that, do we? It's sick. The state is sick. And people are leaving in droves. Okay, Florida is getting a lot of people moving into it. Where are they coming from? New York and California. Tennessee is getting a lot of people moving to it. Where are they coming from? California. I talked with a guy up in Idaho. Where are the people moving into from Idaho? California, Seattle, and Portland. There are people, I talked to a guy, a real estate agent in Kansas today. They got people moving to West Kansas from Colorado to get out of Colorado. They're leaving Southern California for anywhere that isn't Southern California. And Ben Shapiro just announced last night, forget California, we're out of here, we're moving to Nashville. his whole staff. And he said his whole staff is thrilled about getting the heck out of Dodge. Well, just when you think this sex crap can't get any worse, it does. Because now, the Blaze, the queer magazine. No, there's two Blazes. There's the Blaze TV, which, of course, is, what's his name? Which is, I can't think of his name now. Then there's the Blaze, which is the homosexual paper out of the Seattle, I think it is. But anyway, they have put out this thing now that the Burger King mascot and Ronald McDonald have this passionate kiss. And that's now being stuck into LGBTQ, RSVWXYZ, pride ads. You see, they're very prideful about their debauchery. They said under that, we want to show that in the end, love always wins. End quote. Well, then just marry your 12-year-old daughter. Why don't you just have a wedding between your twin boys that are 13? Why just marry? I mean, this is so stupid. So the Burger King and the McDonald's fast food compatriot have this kiss, which makes me puke, barf, and all those other. Ralph, what are the other things? I don't know. And they got the love conquers all. You know what? I was actually done with Burger King a while back because I don't really want patties that are made out of vegetables. Sorry, I don't. If I want meat, I want meat. But this finishes me off on McDonald's. I'm actually down to three restaurants. Fast food. Not that anybody cares, but Arby's. They've reinvented themselves. They actually got a lot of good stuff on the menu, my experience anyway. KFC, even though they switched from trans fat, the trans fat was not as good for you, but it tasted better, but I still really like them. And their compatriot, Taco Bell, even though if you are a vegetarian, you are fine eating a beef burrito there because you just don't really get any beef. But anyway, that's my own personal beef, I guess, huh? Okay. So now this one, this next story is really, the irony in this is so amazing. So we know Joe Biden is a creep, right? He's sniffing women's hairs. He's copping a feel all over the place. He is grabbing little girls and whispering in their ears, the pictures of which you cannot pull up anymore on Google. You can't get them on Twitter. You can't get them on Facebook. The Facebook will find those things and pull them off. Why? Because it's hurting their precious little Joe Biden, creep Biden candidacy. But Twitter removed them. Most recently, it's Twitter. Now, this is amazing. Twitter, that's all in for Biden, said that they are removing all of these things of Biden's, especially the ones with the kids, because it violates their policy against child sexual exploitation. But this is the irony. They flag it as prohibited content that, quote, violates our child sexual exploitation policy, end quote. But the irony is this. They haven't done it before until it starts to hurt his campaign. So they aren't, even though this is child sexual exploitation, they're admitting that Biden is a creep. And he is sexually exploitative of children. He's the creep of creeps. They actually use their own policy to keep people from seeing that which they really haven't minded in the past, but with the intent of making sure people are not influenced by this garbage and vote against them. So they actually are keeping this away from the public for their own pure political purposes. But in the process, admitting he's a sexual predator. How could you make this stuff up? You couldn't. You can't. That's a point. So anyway, I want to get to a piece, and we are going to finish. This is going to be the good news. You're going to learn something today further about guns, and it's all going to come from the Bible. And it's going to be how the left will disarm us. That's right. You're going to learn how the left, when they get in, it's probably a matter of time. But even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Okay, well, anyway, yeah, but we got a tribulation to go through, and who knows, maybe it started. You know, the first 3.5 years are not so bad, so maybe it's just starting. I don't know. But in any case, so Kamala Harris, Cammy Baby, who hates guns, big with Beto, I hate guns, O'Rourke. Biden, who's just channeling Bernie Sanders, who couldn't give a rip about guns. The gun haters, the ones that would confiscate the assault guns. And what are the assault guns? Well, it's anything they call an assault weapon. They just call it an assault weapon, whether it is or not, and then they ban it. But they don't want to just ban the future production and acquisition of them. They want to confiscate the existing ones by a forced, i.e. mandatory buyback. They've said so. They've admitted it. Now, I want to get to a point that I have made for about, let me see, back since Obama was elected. So we're going back 12 years. When Obama was elected in 2008, shortly thereafter, and he's talking about assault weapons and banning them. He started that crapola way back then. I said, all right, and I've said this many times, I just haven't said it recently. How do you identify an assault weapon? It's a weapon used in assault. It could be a pea shooter. It could be a .22 single shot. It could be a rock. It could be a chainsaw. It could be a hammer. It could be a club. It could be a tire iron. It could be an AR-15. Anything that you use in an assault as a weapon is an assault weapon. Understand that. But the point that I have made for the last 12 years, but only during the 8 years of Brock, because I have no complaint for Trump. Trump is supportive of the Second Amendment, so I don't make any complaint there. But under Brock was guarded all the time, as is now Cammy Harris, is guarded by the Secret Service carrying assault weapons. That's right, ARs, AR modified AR-15s, but AR-15s nonetheless, they're probably automatics. Not semi-automatics. The ones that we can buy now are semi-automatics. They got automatics, or even more of an assault weapon than we are, than the AR-15 is in the semi-auto version. They got optics on it. They got flashlight. They got greater than 10-round magazines. They got really nasty black grips that make them look really menacing. But she gets to have them. So the question I ask you, Cammy Baby, the same thing I asked about Hillary, the same thing I asked of Barack. If these are assault weapons, who are your Secret Service agents planning to assault? If they are only good for an offensive purpose, and that's why me and you, that's why I can't have them and you can't have them, all the average Joes and Schmoes, to defend ourselves and our loved ones and our property, if we can't have them because they're assault weapons, then who the heck are you assaulting? Who say, well, they're for defense. We're not assaulting. Well, then I get them for defense too. Why is your sorry derriere more precious than mine? Why do you get it for defense, Cammy, or Hillary, or Barack? And you admit that they're for defense and that they're a good defense weapon because you have them. You use them. Why can't we have them for defense? Why is it in our hands only an offensive weapon, but the identical gun in your hands is only a defensive weapon? Answer that. You can't, and you don't have the guts to. Okay. Now, we get to this passage of Scripture that I want to deal with, but I want to just say something first here. I mentioned earlier in the program that BLM said that if Trump is reelected at the inauguration, that's when the guns come out. That's when, quote, quote, the shooting begins, end quote. Now, I want to say this. I have said gosh, a decade and a half on this program, be prepared. Get guns, plural. Ammo, get trained, get your concealed carry permit. Know how to use them. You will need it. And when the 10 virgins go out and they trim their lamps and only five have oil, you need to be the one that has the oil, not the one that fiddles around. And when the moment comes where you need the oil, you're out. And nobody's going to give you ammo. Nobody's going to loan you a gun. I'm not going to. I'm not going to give one to anybody because they'll probably turn me in. You won't even know who's on your side. Get trained, because when the shooting begins by BLM, Antifa, whoever it is, that's when the shooting back needs to begin. That's right. You want to see blowback? We got more guns, we got more ammo than those Nimrods. And if they start shooting, we start shooting back. No need to wait for the police. It's out of their hands. They aren't doing jack anyway, right? I don't want a civil war. But I'm convinced one's going to happen unless the righteous states after Trump is gone, be that in 3 months or 4 years and 3 months, states that have brains and morals leave and secede from the United States and reasons that I can't imagine the left actually lets us go. But I don't think they'll let us go. We will have a civil war. We just will. And I'm going to be on the right side of this thing, and I'm going to be defending the right state in the process. So when the shooting begins, the shooting back is going to begin. And if there is going to be a civil war, I've said this before, I don't like saying it. I don't want one. I pray that God would just give us a revival, but even if Trump gets reelected, if we don't have a turning back to the Lord in this country, we're just going to end up with a really, really noxious bad king that will make Kamala Harris look moderate. But we need, if we are going to have one, if it's inevitable that we have one, I hope that it happens soon. I don't want it 10 years down the road. When we don't have any guns and they've come after us, because now I'm going to explain to you how they will do that. And gee, how amazing that God has put in his word how the left will disarm the right. If that's what it comes down to, and it comes out of 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting in verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19. The Philistines and the Israelites, the Hebrews, you're right. If you've read anything in the Old Testament, you know they were always at war, always at war. These guys duked it out all the time. And when Israel was right with God, Israel won. When Israel wasn't right with God, they got toasted. At this point in the juncture of the conflict between the two nations, Israel is on the bottom looking up. The Philistines are in control. But this is how and why they were in control. Okay, verse 19, it says, now there was no smith, meaning no gunsmith. No, there were no guns. But it means meaning basically no blacksmith, a metal worker. There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. Okay, there was no one that had the tools to work with metal. For, or what, because the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make themselves swords or spears. We can't let the Israelites have the means by which to make weapons. For all the Israelites had to go down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share or his coulter or his axe or his mattock. These are various weapons, I just might add. They had to go to the Philistines with whatever tool they had. There were weapons, but there were also tools. The axe is a tool. They had to go there because the Philistines controlled all the means of the sharpening. And by controlling all the means of the sharpening, guess what? They had to pay the Philistines, and guess what else? All the Philistines knew where the axes and the mattocks were. They knew where the mattocks were. It was automatic, right? It said, yet They had a file for the mattocks and for the colders and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle, mark this line. So it came to pass in the day of battle, we got war coming. There's a major fight coming. Here it's left versus right, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. Only with Saul and Jonathan, his son, was there found. And they had a sword. There are two swords for the nation. Two swords. Two stinking swords was all that there was. Why? Because the Philistines had assumed the regulatory control over the manufacture of weapons, the maintenance of the weapons, the administration of the sharpening and the fixing, and furthermore, then I could identify who has them, who doesn't have them, so that when the Israelites would rise up, could rise up, should rise up, they didn't have any weapons. But who had them? The left, the Philistines. They had them. The government, the ones in control. Mind you, if the left gets in control, they won't be against gun control. They'll only be against controlling your guns, the ones on the right, the ones that, and they're righteous, they have guns to defend themselves against an intervening bureaucratic, tyrannical federal government that would impose itself. This is what the left is going to do. They do not have to eliminate the Second Amendment. Now, they're getting closer to trying to do that. They will go piecemeal in a regulatory fashion, adding burdens, regulations, regulatory controls, bureaucratic nightmares, the ability to sue manufacturers, sue ammo manufacturers, gun manufacturers. They will regulate and bureaucraticize, if you will, guns out of existence, where you can no longer afford to have one. Well, you can get a gun license, just costs you $10,000 a year. Yes, you can buy this ammo for your 45. It's only $5 a shot. No, we're not eliminating guns. You got your Second Amendment right. Oh, you can't afford it? Too bad, sucker. Too bad, so sad. It's why you need to have multiple guns. And honestly, you need thousands of rounds. You say, that's ridiculous, Rob. No, because if you haven't shot, you're probably lousy. And you probably go through 1,000-plus rounds before you get any proficiency, how to learn how to use it safely. Trust me, this is so indelibly imprinted in my heart and mind. I could see this 15 years ago. Nothing has changed in those 15 years as we march towards the disarmament of American society. Now, I want to tell you, gun sales have gone through the roof. And where have they gone through the roof? Gee, amazing. Washington, Oregon, New York, Colorado, California, Illinois. They're buying them any which way they can because those are all blue states run by blue Democratic hack governors and mayors, and they're getting riotized to pieces. And they're heading for the hills. But they want to be armed. Even Democrats are starting to buy guns. Not necessarily for the right reason. They won't know how to use them. Hopefully they know which end is the barrel points towards. But keep in mind, this is just one more thing that Scripture instructs us on. There, folks, is nothing that the Bible of a meaningful nature does not give us instruction. Now, I'm going to do my best for as long as I've got breath to bring that instruction to you, because I love this word and I pore over it. And when I'm done with Revelation, I turn right around and start going back over it again. I love it because every time I get something new. This one is for you today. Understand, they're going to try to regulate guns out of existence. Get them and get them legally. But if you got grandpa dies, take his gun. Don't turn it in. mom or dad passes away, take their gun. You don't need to tell anybody. Just take it. If it's if you're in the estate, then and you're in the line of inheritance, don't turn them over. Don't do what some of my law clients have done and turn them over to authorities. I want to pull my hair out. You just gave away your Second Amendment. Don't do that. Now keep in mind, the first weapon, the best weapon we have is the Word of God. And if you get cornered like these people do, it did in Chicago, in Washington, D.C., in the restaurant, I'll tell you, start preaching the Word of God to them. If you're a Pentecostal, start speaking in tongues. If you know the Word, you just come at them with a word just as fast as you would come at them with a gun. The gun is for another situation, but it should be there right behind the Word of God. God bless you all. Remember, sit tall in the saddle wherever you live, because you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.